Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. G.K. Chesterton, a contemporary to both C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien, once wrote, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried." In saying this, Chesterton does not mean that it is difficult because one must work one's way into heaven by accumulating good works. Rather, he means that it is hard because we as Christians must all suffer on account of the message we bring into the world. A world that is strongly opposed to this Christian message. And not only is it difficult as Christians because we must struggle with opposition from outside, from the world, but also because we must struggle from within, with our very own sinful flesh, which always seeks comfort, ease, and pleasure, and runs away from things like hardship and suffering. All throughout the history of God's people, we can see examples of those who refused to listen to the truth of God's word, either because they must be persecuted for it, or because it would lead them to have to give up something that they held dear. When Jeremiah the prophet called the people of Judah to repent of their idolatry, warning that if they did not, they would be destroyed and taken captive by the Babylonians, Judah refused to listen and instead heard the voice of the false prophets who did not rebuke them for their sin. As a result of preaching the truth of God's word, Jeremiah was eventually thrown into a cistern and left with meager rations of bread and water. Herodias, who Herod had taken from his brother Philip to be his wife, hated John the Baptist because he preached that it was not lawful for Herod to have her. In the end, this hatred from Herodias, this constant preaching of God's truth by John, this call to repentance, led to his beheading. Even throughout John's gospel, which we just read, Jesus repeatedly says that people are refusing to come to him and believe because he, the light, is exposing the dark evil of their deeds. They instead want to revel in the darkness and remain in it. Nevertheless, Jesus continues to preach the evil of their deeds and their need for repentance, not because Jesus likes to antagonize people, but because he loves them. Because he desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But Jesus knows full well that in order for this to happen, the truth must be preached. It cannot be watered down. It cannot be changed. Otherwise, just as in the case of the false prophets with Israel, the people will continue to wallow in their sin and eventually be lost forever. And so, in our reading for today, Jesus tells the disciples of the persecutions that will come on account of the gospel. But he does this, as John writes, so that they might not fall away. So that when the disciples do go out and spread the gospel, they might not be surprised when it is rejected, and when they themselves are ridiculed and even put to death for it. So that they might not think that perhaps they have it wrong, and that they haven't been preaching God's word truthfully, and perhaps this is why they are being persecuted. Because Jesus spoke these difficult truths to the disciples, they were constantly able to look back and take comfort and encouragement from these words of his. They didn't need to be surprised when they were persecuted for preaching the risen Christ, because Jesus had promised that would happen. For shortly before our gospel reading for today, Jesus himself told the disciples, If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. The persecutions of the disciples would no longer, though, be instances in which they would question whether they were being punished by God for the preaching of the gospel. Rather, they would be confirmations of not only the validity of Christ's message, but also of God's love for them. These persecutions that we as Christians must endure, both from without and from within, are what make Christianity difficult, as Chesterton put it. These persecutions are what cause many Christians to fall away from the faith. This sad truth is seen all around us in our very day. For how many of our friends or family have abandoned the faith on account of persecutions? It was probably not because of persecutions such as imprisonments or beatings, but there is a great host of those who have been deceived by far less. Perhaps it was entering into college in order that they might be part of a particular group of friends. Or perhaps they met someone and entered into a relationship with them who did not share the same faith as they did. At this moment in our country, persecutions have not reached the severity that they were at the times of the apostles and soon afterwards. But one does not need to be a historian to look back not even 10 years ago compared to where we are now to see that we are quickly heading in that direction. Though less severe, persecutions in our day are still trying. You'll be called a bigot or unloving if you do not approve of men marrying men or women marrying women. You're a prude if you decide to refrain from sex before marriage. And you're certainly not normal if you don't view pornography. We are labeled as those who hate women because we do not support abortion and birth control, or because we acknowledge that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ himself is the head of the church. We even face persecution from those who would call themselves our brothers and sisters in the faith when we do not do things such as ordain women, as is clearly spoken against in Scripture. From the same, we receive the charge that we are unloving because we do not allow any and everyone to receive the Lord's Supper before being examined in the Christian faith. Overall, the world and those in it see these teachings of Christianity as unloving. And being unloving, they cannot be from God, because as everybody knows, God is love. So, as Jesus says in our gospel reading for today, by persecuting the apostles and us, his children, these think that they are offering a service to God. But because they refuse to hear and take to heart the truth of Christ's words, they cannot understand how these things are, in fact, loving. For love is not a tolerance of evil, so that we might all get along. It is not loving for a parent to stand back as his child plays in the busy street. It is not loving for a parent to give his child candy for every meal, which if you ask your child what they want to eat for every meal, it's probably going to be something unhealthy. As Christians, we do not witness against these evils in order to build ourselves up as morally superior. Rather, we do it so that they might recognize the harm and danger into which they place themselves and turn before it is too late. But these words are also for us. Because as this world grows more threatening, as persecutions increase and grow fierce, we too will be tempted to give up witnessing to the truth of God's word, or to water it down so that it is more tolerable, as so many Christians in our day choose to do. But remember who you have received. For you have received the Spirit of the truth, of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. the very spirit of Jesus who before Pilate made the good confession, even though doing the opposite could have easily saved his life. Jesus who faithfully witnessed even unto death, and an innocent death at that. And all this not to gain glory for himself, but for you, to win for you the forgiveness of all your sins and a new life, a freedom from the life of slavery to sin. We have been given this boldness and courage to witness to the truth of God's word in our baptism, where you have received the Spirit of the truth. The same Spirit that has given Christians boldness and courage throughout all time to risk their very lives rather than speak or uphold anything contrary to God's word. The writer to the Hebrews describes some of these saints when he writes, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Because they had been given the Holy Spirit, the Helper, they were able in faith to step forth into a world that vehemently opposed Jesus and his message and to proclaim it boldly. We too have this same Spirit, the same Spirit that allows us to witness in love to a broken and dying world. We need not fear those who can only destroy the body and afterward can do nothing to the soul. For Jesus himself has gone before us into this dark and threatening world, and he has overcome it. In him we have boldness and courage to witness to the truth of God's word in the midst of all persecutions and sufferings, and to remain steadfast in this one true faith unto life everlasting. May the Father grant us to be strengthened with his Spirit, so that we might be bold witnesses in our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.